Kof Dalet Elul, Tuesday the 11th of September, Rabbi Pesach Kron, Bikur Cholim, Sense and Sensitivity. This week's Torah Way has been sponsored L'ilu Nishmas Rav Zev Ben Rav Dov Zichron Levocha and L'ilu Nishmas Rav Shmuel Chaim Ben Rav Svi Hirsch Zichron Levocha.
It is a great kavod to have been invited once again to come to speak to all of you at Torah Way and to all who watch it or listen to it over the radio. First and foremost, I would like to thank my dear friend, who I mentioned last night is like a brother to me, Rav Dov Harris from PAL. He's the one who brought me in to England here in these days of Elul. I thank him, and I say hello to his dear son, Rafi, who is in the car on the way to school and couldn't be here. I thank the Zaidi, Dr. Harris, who brought me here this morning. I thank Ruth Collins. I don't know if you know this, but I get these posters every single week on my email. They're the most gorgeous posters. They're so beautiful. And I thank you, Ruth. I hope that you'll get to hear this recording, and I thank you. And most of all, I thank Dudy Itzkowitz, because he's the first one to bring me to Torah Way many years ago. Every time that he even sniffs that I am coming to London, already he wants to know if I'm coming to Torah Way. So he is so dedicated, and I want to wish all of you mazel and bracha on this new venue. This is triple the size of what it used to be when I first came here, and we've gone to many different places, so I'm happy to be here. Less than a year ago, I was rushed to the hospital for emergency gallbladder surgery. It was very serious. I was in a wonderful hospital in New York, which is called St. Francis Hospital, actually out in Long Island. And I can just tell you that coming through that surgery and being in the intensive care unit afterwards, and even though that there was one nurse for two people in intensive care, still I felt tremendous fear, isolation, and very insecure. I was there for Shabbos, and Baruch Hashem for Shabbos, my wife and my daughter were with me. And so during that time, some of that fear was minimized and the loneliness was eliminated and it dissipated the insecurity. But Matzah Shabbos, there was a sudden snowstorm and they both had to get back. And then I went back to feeling that fear and that insecurity and that loneliness. And the next morning, my daughter came in from Baltimore. Now, for my daughter to be there by 8 o'clock in the morning meant that she had to leave her home 5 o'clock in the morning to get the train. And sometimes, just the fact that a family member is there when a person is sick is the most rewarding and the most wonderful feeling for the chayla. And all of a sudden, all I saw was her smile, and I held her hand and made small talk. And that was enough to bring me back, to take away that fear, that isolation, and that insecurity. And I think that that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. The first thing that we must know about Bikur Cholim is that it's not that the Chayla is your Esrig or your Lulav. The Chayla is there so that you are able in the appropriate time to visit and make him feel special or make her feel special. And that's the Din of Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Lamed Hei Sif Aleph in Yerdeya. Mitzvah Levakeh Cholim. It is a mitzvah to be Mavakeh Chayla. Hakroivim v'hachaveirim nichnosim miyad, the relatives and those that are very, very close, they are the ones that could come right away. V'harachoikim, and those that are a little further away from the person, acha gimul yomim, they shouldn't come until 3 days. In other words, the first lesson of Bikur Cholim is never, ever go visit a chayla without announcing yourself to the family that you're coming. Because there are many people, especially women, who sometimes feel they're dressed inappropriately, not chas v'shalom that they're not dressed b'tznias. But we know that there is a certain fineness that a woman feels when she's dressed in a certain way, and nobody wants to be seen in a hospital gown. And so therefore, it could be very embarrassing and worse for the chayla if somebody just walks in without having announced to them first. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that I believe is the essence of what Bikur Cholim is all about. And that's Tehillim Mem Aleph, pasuk Beis, and it tells us like this. Ashrei maskil eldol. Wise is the person who concerns himself about the impoverished person. The impoverished person can be not necessarily only the one who doesn't have money, but the one who's down and out. B'yom ra, on a day of disaster, Yimaltehu Hashem. Hashem will save this person who is sensitive to the person who is impoverished, either in finances and in health, and you deal with them with sensitivity. And that's why I call this talk Bigochelim, sense and sensitivity. And I just want to give you a very beautiful example. In Eretz Yisrael, many years ago, there was a Sfardish Rav. His name was Chacham Rabbi Salomon Mutztafi. Very famous Rav in Yerushalayim. He died in 1974, so this story goes back a while. And what happened was, he would go Friday night, and he would visit a certain Rav, and he spent a lot of time with this Rav who was a chayla, who could no longer come to shul. And when he was there, after a while, and this went on every single Friday night, some of his Talmidim said to him, "You know, don't you have to go home? Why are you making such a point to go Friday night? Why don't you go in the middle of the week? And then Friday night, right after shul, you could go straight. You could go straight to your home and make kiddush where your wife and family are waiting." And he said something incredible. He said, "Think about the Rav that I go to visit. What night do you think is the most painful night for him of the week?" He says, "It's Friday night." You know why? Because we all remember this Rav. Friday night, when he would come home from shul, all the people would walk alongside him. He would tell them a vort on the parsha. They would ask him a particular shaila of something that went on during the week, and he gave them advice, and he gave them a psak halacha. That's what he probably misses more than anything else. That walk, that kovet that he used to get every Friday night. And so therefore, I've asked my wife permission, and I've asked my children permission, that they should understand that I can go Friday night to visit that person and spend extra time with him, because that's the time when he misses being well the most. And that's the pshat, Ashrei Maskil Eldol. I want to share with you a very interesting but a very painful story. This story happened in July of 1996. I was in Zurich, I was traveling. I was going to go be speaking in certain places in Switzerland, but, you know, you land in Zurich. And I had a friend there who had been emailing me. He was one of the people that was bringing me into Switzerland. His name was Danny Benjamin. Danny met me in the airport and then took me to his home. And then he said, "We have to go someplace first before we go down to where we're speaking." And I said, "Danny, I'm exhausted. You know, it's late at night. Where are we going?" And he said, "We have to go out of town to a hospital. It was called a sanatorium." And I said, "Why? I don't even know. Who are we going to visit?" And he said, "We're going to visit a guy who Nebuch. His name was Yonah Molina." And Yonah Molina, you could look it up. You'll see the whole story. He was a Baal Tshuva, son of Holocaust survivors from Switzerland. He had become a Baal Tshuva, and he was learning in the Yeshiva Beis Meir, and he was going to Hebrew University. And that morning, he was on the 26th bus, on the number 26 bus, and the bus Nebuch blew up. On that bus, 4 were killed and 107 were wounded. But Yonah Molina, Nebuch, and it almost is worse than being killed, he was paralyzed from the neck down. He could no longer speak, and he could just move his eyes and just blink, and that was the only way that he could communicate. Now, obviously, they took him to a hospital right away in Eretz Yisrael, and then his parents wanted that he should come back, and they felt that he could get better care in Switzerland. And so he was back in Switzerland, and he had been a friend of Danny Benjamin, and Danny asked me that I should go visit him. Now, what in the world are you supposed to say to this 28-year-old kid, a single boy who had become a Baal Tshuva, was learning in the yeshiva and going to school? What in the world are you supposed to say to him? I came to the hospital. Of course, it was late at night. It was dark already, but the nurses let us in. And Nebuch, he's on a respirator, and he has this big neck brace, and he's just lying there, and he's looking at me, and of course, I don't know what he's thinking. And my heart is going out to him. What do you say to somebody like this? And somehow, as I said last night, sometimes I said to the people when I was speaking about Yiddish and names, that sometimes Hashem gives you something in your mind you don't even know where it came from. And I touched his cheek and I patted his cheek softly and I said to him, "Yonah, you represent all of us. Really? They didn't mean only you. They didn't mean you specifically. They meant to hurt every Jew, those Arabs, Yimach Shemam v'Zichrom. They meant to hurt everyone. And because you represent every single one of us, you were the one who was hurt, but they were really trying to hurt anyone, any Jew that was on that bus. I will make sure that nobody ever forgets you. And what I did was that I printed labels with his name, Yonah Molina, with the address of the hospital, and then eventually the address of his home, but most of the time he was in this hospital. And wherever I spoke in the world, whether it was in New York, whether it was in Canada, whether it was in South Africa, wherever it was, I told people, write a card to Yonah Molina. Just tell him that you're davening for him. Yonah ben Chaim. And Yonah Chaim ben Sarah, I believe the name was. But I told everybody to daven for him. Yonah Chaim ben Sarah, that was the name. And his mother would call me. And she would say, I can't thank you enough. You know what the wallpaper of Yonah's room is? It's the postcards and the letters that we get from children all over the world. Eventually, he wanted to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and he was in Tel HaShomer. He was in a hospital in Tel HaShomer. And when I came a second time to see him in Tel HaShomer, at that time, he still had this neck brace, and he was on a respirator. But he was able to communicate by closing and opening his eyes onto the computer, and that's how he was able to communicate with anyone that was there. And what he told me when I was there in Tel HaShomer, and what his parents told me, Rachman al-Litzlan, after he passed away, was three words. They didn't forget. They didn't forget. And that's really the essence of what a chayla is all about. The chayla feels so isolated. You know, we go, we do, we run, we go to the minyan, we go to work, and we have our families. But when somebody's in a hospital, or somebody's even in a nursing home, or even in their own home, and they can't get out, they feel separated from the world. They feel isolated from the world. And the essence of Bikkur Cholim is to make that Chayla understand, we haven't forgotten about you. You're part of Klal Yisrael. But of course, it has to be done with Seichel. You have to go and say the right things, and you have to announce yourself, as we said, and not to go in at the wrong time. I've brought a gift for every single one of you. We gave it out last night. I'd like every one of you to have one of these. This is a DVD on Bikkur Cholim. It's called Sense and Sensitivity. Now, those of you who saw the Siyum HaShas know that there was a video made, a few videos were made, and they were all done by my dear son-in-law, Hananya Kramer, who has this company called Kolram Multimedia. And he's a genius in putting together these various DVDs and these videos. And what we did, we once did something on Mea Brochus, and we did something on the human body called Design of Perfect, the miraculous workings of the human body. And then we did this on Bikkur Cholim. And what this is, watch it. And anyone that wants more than one, as many as you want, they have all been sponsored through Duri. You could call Duri. Duri will email me and I'll send it to anyone who wants free. Give it to the Chayla, but watch it yourself first. You will see a skit, how not to do Bikkur Cholim, which is absolutely hysterical. Like the person who goes to the Chayla and said, oh, that doctor, my Zayda Alva Shalom, that was his doctor. Or my aunt, may she rest in peace, that was her doctor. So, you know, imagine, what is the Chayla supposed to think, and what does he feel like, you know? So, of course, you have to be so sensitive. My wife told me that there was a woman who was in a hospital in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix is one of the hottest places in the United States. Even in the winter, it's very hot there. You can imagine what it is in the summer. And this woman was hooked up to all kinds of tubes and monitors and everything. And somebody came into her one day and said to her, you know, you're so lucky to be here. You have air conditioning, your meals are served on time, and you don't have to fight the traffic. They're all true. She had air conditioning, right? She didn't have to worry about that shul, right? She had air conditioning, and she didn't have to fight the traffic, and her meals are served on time. What kind of dumb thing is that to say to a chayla? Well, of course, the nurse came running in from the front desk and said, I don't know what you said to my patient, but the monitors are going crazy. Get out and never come back here. So on the way here, somebody just told me an incredible thing. Somebody said that his brother was never in the hospital, he had been hurt severely, and somebody came and said terrible things to him, which were very inappropriate. So he communicated with his parents. He said, please tell that guy not to come back. He gave me more pain than I have even now. So the parents, they called the fellow, and they said, our son would rather that they don't have visitors. What kind of chutzpah? That's my mitzvah, Bikkur Cholim. You can't take that away from me. You can't look as the chayla, as your esrog, as your lulav. You have to look at him as a human being and be sensitive. So I want to tell you, what does it mean to be sensitive? And you'll watch this, and as I said last night, these six Rabbonim here, who are pictured on the back of this DVD, they speak directly to the Chayla. It is just incredible how many people have told me, who are sick, that they listen to these six Rabbonim, and they feel they are being spoken to directly, and they get tremendous chizuk from it. Anyone would get chizuk. But take this, study it, and if you want more, we'll send it out to you. You could give it to any Bikur Cholim society, any shul. We have tens of thousands of these that were sponsored by a wonderful, wonderful individual. In Silver Spring, Maryland, a number of years ago, there was a little boy, Nebuch, a four-year-old boy, who had a terrible swimming accident. And he Nebuch became paralyzed. And his name was Shauli. And the children in the neighborhood, the high school children, what they did is they had to do certain exercises with him to keep his body mobile because he couldn't move the limbs anymore himself. And many, many people were saying so much to him for this little boy, Shauli. But I want to show you what a person does. There's a lawyer in that town in Silver Springs, Maryland, and his name is Judd Lipschitz. He's very close to the family. They daven in the same shul. And Mr. Lipschitz wanted to do something for this little boy. What could you do? You can't speak with him. He's only 4 years old. What could you tell a four-year-old? And Bechlal, this little boy, Shauli, couldn't speak anymore. And of course, he organized, you know, the patterning that is called, you know, that the children from the high school should come. But then this Judd Lipschitz did a remarkable thing. He wrote a book. He took a book that a Sfardish Rav had written in Eretz Yisrael. The name of the book in Hebrew is Chachmei Yisrael Bial Dusam. Great scholars of greatness, what they were like when they were children. And he wrote a book, he translated it, and he called it in English, Stories for Shauli. You could probably still get the book. Stories for Shauli. Well, first of all, many stories of many tzaddikim, Rav Shlomo Zalman and many Sfarish Gedolim and Rav Moshe Feinstein, stories when they were little children, what they were like. And the mother, Shauli's mother, told me that it gave her such consolation, it gave her such chizuk, that somebody would take time to write a book and have it published so that her son should have a refuah shleima. Because after all, what could you do for that child? But when you daven for the child, and you do something so that it should be a schus for the child, and the parent realizes that, there can be no greater consolation, or no greater element of Bikur Cholim than that. I wanted to share with you as well, something very interesting. A beautiful story about someone in Borough Park who called me to tell me this remarkable story. She had a mother that was never very sick. And what she did was, many, many hours, she would have to stay in the hospital with her mother and just sit there. The mother, most of the time, the mother was sleeping. There was not really much that she could do for her. But it took up a lot of time. And she was wondering, why is there no organization that has volunteers that could just sit with the chayla? And in case something comes up, they would call right away on a cell phone, they would call a family member. But like this, it relieves many of the family members of just sitting there, because sometimes a person could be like that in a position for months, and just the family just does not have the time to be there. So she thought that there should be perhaps some volunteer organization like that. And sure enough, Nebuch, after her mother passed away, she went looking, and she found out that in the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn, there's an organization called HILF, H-I-L-F. HILF, of course, in Yiddish means help, and they do that. But they do something else, and she became part of that. And that was that for older people, especially survivors, who can no longer cook for themselves, they have volunteers that will cook a hot meal for these survivors, either a couple or an elderly woman, an elderly man, whatever the story is, and then they cook the meal. Everybody has a different day that they cook for them, a supper, and by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, a driver comes to pick it up. He's also a volunteer, and he brings it to these elderly people who can no longer cook for themselves, and that's what this HILF organization does, an absolute beautiful, beautiful thing. So she told me that her day was Tuesday. She would cook, And then the driver would come and pick it up. And one day she gets a call from the Hilf organization, says, you know, every day you cook Tuesday, but the lady who's supposed to cook for a chayla who lives just a few blocks away from you, she can't cook this Wednesday. She has to be out of town. And not only that, it just happens to be tufelig that the driver is also not available. Would you mind cooking just one extra meal for Wednesday and delivering it to this lady who lives just a few blocks from you? She says, what's the question? Of course, I'll be happy to do it. She cooks the meal, and Wednesday 4 o'clock, she goes to drive over to the apartment house of this lady. She walks into the apartment, she knocks on the door, she says, I'm the lady from Hilf, and the lady welcomes her in, a very elderly woman already, because all the survivors are already 80 or 85 years old, and she gives her the meal. And she's about to leave, and the lady says, maybe you could stay for a few minutes. I can never get out of the house, I have no one to talk to. I can never get out of the house. All right, she wasn't planning on staying, but okay, she decided she'll stay there. And then all of a sudden, the lady says to her, the elderly woman, do you mind if I look at you? Very uncomfortable question. She said, I guess so, I don't mind. And she says, are you Hannah Steinberg's daughter? She says, you know my mother? How do you know my mother? She says, you look exactly like what your mother looked like when she was young. She says, I was in the concentration camp with your mother. He says, I remember that your mother and I were both so thin and frail. And one late evening, I felt I was dying. I felt that I wasn't going to make it to the next morning. And I said to your mother, I know you still have a piece of bread left that you're saving. Please give it to me. Please give it to me, because if I don't have another half a piece of bread, I won't survive till tomorrow. And your mother, even though she weighed barely 80 pounds, she gave me her bread. And I survived till the next morning. And I said to your mother, one day, if I ever get out of here alive, I'm going to pay you back. I'm going to pay you back. I don't know how I'll do it, but if we ever survive, I'll pay you back. And now I see that your mother, she paid me back. She paid me back. It was actually, I mixed up the story. The lady, Hannah Steinberg, was the one who needed the food. She was the one who needed the food. And she came over to this lady and said she needed the food, and I gave it to her. And your mother said that she'll pay me back. And today, she paid me back. It's an unbelievable thing. This woman who was a survivor had given this Hannah Steinberg food. And Hannah Steinberg said that she would pay her back. And she said, today you, her daughter, paid me back. And that's what Bikur Chaylam is all about. You never know when you come and you do a chayla, a favor. You do a chayla, you spend some time with them. And what's very important, and what the Rabbanim talk about over here, is preparing for your visit. Rav David Weinberger mentioned something very interesting. He said, sometimes you come to a hospital, and Rabbi Feiner mentions it as well. The chayla has enough food to serve an army, because everybody's bringing lunches and suppers. That's not what you have to bring if the chayla has families that are providing. Or David Weinberger gives an example, and he says, imagine somebody loves classical music. He said he had somebody in his shul who loved classical music. The best thing that somebody in the shul did, they brought him a CD of Mozart, a CD of Beethoven or whatever. And that's what the person enjoyed. That's what you look at from the chayla's perspective, not from the chayla, not from your perspective, how you want to do it. There's a fellow, Dr. Menachem Cooper, who lives in Baltimore. He's a geriatrician. I didn't know what a geriatrician was until I realized it's a pediatrician for adults. Geriatrician, right? It's for elderly people. And he told me that there was a certain woman that he used to go visit in a nursing home. She was nebuch already, you know, her mind was just about gone. But there was one thing that she remembered. And she told him a poem. Every time she would see him, she would tell him this poem. And this poem is so great, you should write it down. I made copies of it and I have it on my refrigerator. Listen to this poem. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift of God. That's why we call it the present. Isn't that great? Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift of Hashem. That's why we call it the present. And that's something that we have to remember, all of us that are Baruch Hashem well, that can get around. The greatest gift that we have is life. The greatest gift that we have is the capacity to be able to go do a mitzvah, to be able to be a mavaka chayla. But again, it has to be with sensitivity. And he told me something incredible. He said that he remembers that he was about to marry off his daughter. And his mother was 2 weeks away from the chasana, and his mother was rushed to the hospital. His mother had a certain problem. And he was thinking, how is he going to go every day to visit his mother in the hospital that, you know, just didn't have the time. He was a busy doctor. And then all of a sudden he was thinking, when I was a child, he said to me, I was sick. I was sick for a half a year. My mother never left my bedside. Anytime I opened my eyes, my mother was there for me. And now I'm worried that I don't have time because I have to marry off my daughter, that I don't have time to go visit my mother in the hospital. That's a terrible thing. Many of us who are in the sandwich generation, that we have children that we have to take care of, and we have parents that we have to take care of. And sometimes we favor our children over our parents, and that's not the right thing to do. A person has to know, as I spoke yesterday in one of the schools, and you say the Atara in Stanford Hill, about Kibbut Ova Aim. Kibbut Ova Aim, the essence of Kibbut Ova Aim is the idea of Akaras HaTayif. If we would think what we do for our children, everybody here who has children, can they ever repay us for what we did for them? They can never repay. And you know something? Whatever you did for your kids, that's what your parents did for you. Except we don't look at it that way. And so as parents get elderly, we have to remember what we did for our children, that's what our parents did for us. And you know, there's another aspect of Bikur Cholim. The aspect of Bikur Cholim is, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is supposed to daven for the chayla. It's not enough just to come visit for the person, but a person has to daven for the chayla. That's all part of the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And I'll tell you a very interesting story that Rabbi Yankel Bender told me. Rabbi Yankel Bender told me that his father, Rab David, was a Talmud of Rab Shlomo Hyman, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Tera V'Das. Rab Shlomo Hyman, near the end of his life, was nebuch very, very sick, and the doctors came in one day, and they said, no one is allowed to be by your rabbi. He's very sick, he can't take any visitors whatsoever. This Talmud, Rab David Bender, who was a devoted Talmud to the Rebbe, of course he decided he's not going to let anybody in, no matter what. The doctor leaves. 20 minutes later, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein comes to the hospital. Can you imagine that? Of course. Rabbi Shlomo Hyman was the Rosh Hashiva of Tera V'Das, one of the Gedolim in New York at that time. And now here comes the Gadol HaDor. I mean, what do you tell him? This boy didn't know what to do. But, you know, the doctor said nobody is allowed. So he goes over to Rabbi Moshe and he says, Rosh Hashiva, I don't know what to say, but the doctor just told me that nobody is allowed to come in. So Rabbi Moshe said, that's fine. That's not a problem. Bikur Cholim is two things. Not only seeing the chayla, but davening. Fine. Rabbi Moshe stood himself by the wall outside the hospital room. He davened for a few moments, and then he left. He said, that's my mitzvah. In other words, he didn't look at Bikur Cholim as if that person is his mitzvah, his esrog, his lulav. Just the opposite. Being mavaka chayla means being sensitive for what the best thing is for the chayla itself. And therefore, that's why that's part of davening. As a matter of fact, there's a very great person who's from England originally. His name is Rabbi Yamin Moskowitz. Some of you may know who he is. Tremendous, tremendous person, Rosh Hashiva of Medrash Shmuel. And he's an incredible person. And he told me an amazing thing. He said that it's stated in Chazal that the Shechina is by the head of the Chayla. So he says when he goes to be Mavaka Chayla, not only does he stand by the head of the Chayla to daven for the Chayla, but he davens for himself. He davens for anything that he needs. I said, I can't believe it. You daven for other things besides the chayla? He said, of course. How many times do you have the opportunity to daven up close, right next to the Shechina? So that's a zman of tefillah. We never look at it that way. And so therefore, we have to know that which Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that Achrei Hashem alekechem telechu, that you should follow Hashem, v'oisei siro, and you should fear Hashem. And the Gemara in Seiti Yudal Ramar Aleph says, V'chi efshelo la'odam lahalich achar ha'shechina, can you follow the Shechina? Elo lahalich achar midoisav, to go do the attributes and follow the ways of Hashem. Mahu malbush arumim, afatom malbush arumim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mavaka choylim, afatom bika choylim. And we all know that Hashem came to be mavaka choylim from Avinu. And it's interesting. The Torah doesn't tell us what Hashem said. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? Hashem doesn't say what Hashem said to Avram Avinu when he came to him of Akachayla. And the answer is sometimes just being there is good enough. You don't even have to say anything. Sometimes the Chayla is not in the mood of talking. But your mere presence there shows the Chayla that you care. Shows the Chayla that he hasn't been forgotten. And that's what Hashem did. Hashem just wanted that Avram Avinu should know that he's there. And not only that, Hashem orchestrated that the three Malachim should come because he knew that's what Avram Avinu wanted. So here Hashem takes of his time Kaviyachol, comes through Mavaka Chayla, and doesn't say anything, and orchestrates that Avram Avinu is going to leave Hashem and going to go to the Malachim to do Achnos HaSorchem. Why? Because that's what the Chayla wants. And that's the essence of Bika Chaylam. Hashem should help that there should be no more chaylim. But if there are, that we should have sense and sensitivity to do the mitzvah properly so that the Eivishka will see the chesed that we do and do us the ultimate chesed, which is bringing Mashiach. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for listening. And please make sure that you take one of these CDs.